Rather than giving a gift of cash this Christmas, Friends of Focus can give a smarter gift. You can choose to give a gift of stock that has appreciated over the last year. You get a tax deduction for the fair market value, avoid tax on the appreciation of the stock, and turn that savings into a gift for families. For more information on non-cash giving, visit FocusNonCashGift.com. That's FocusNonCashGift.com.
When you get Jesus in you, you won't be as scared. Because guess what? We're not even built for this life. We're built for something way beyond here.
Well, that's Willie Robertson, and he's our featured speaker today on a Best of 2020 edition of Focus on the Family with your host, Focus President Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, back in July, we shared this great message from Willie Robertson of A&E's very popular program, Duck Dynasty. And the response to this show was so strong that it became one of our most requested broadcasts of the year. So we're airing it again for those of you who missed it. Willie is CEO of Duck Commander and Buck Commander in West Monroe, Louisiana. He's authored 4 books, and he really has a warm and engaging speaking style. He starts with humor, but he has a very serious point to make that I know you're going to appreciate. This message was recorded in the fall of 2016, about 5 months before Duck Dynasty completed their 5-year run on television.
Here now is Willie Robertson speaking at Living Word, just outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota, on today's episode of Focus on the Family.
I am so excited to be here. I've never spoken in Minnesota, and I will tell you, besides the Lord himself, I'll tell you who really pulled this off to get me here was a guy that worked for me named Kyle Tingwall. He lived up near Anoka. Oh. Likes a good Diet Coke. And I have fun with him every day. I cannot get enough of his accent. I don't have one, so, but he has one. Kyle, thank you for this opportunity. I've been getting excited about it. We're still shooting Duck Dynasty. That's going to help me to make it through shooting Duck Dynasty. I'm going to remember that clap because it's kind of like sausage. You know, making sausage is kind of, you know, that's kind of what making TV's like. It's a long process. I'm not complaining. I just didn't realize that right now we're filming our 130th episode, so it's a lot of episodes. So, and it's been good. God's blessed us so much. Never would have dreamed. I get asked all the time, would you have ever thought this was going to happen? No, it's impossible to know that. We were shooting a show that, and we put a prayer at the end of it. And I'll be honest, to us, it didn't seem like a big deal. We prayed normally before our meals. And so putting it on television, I never really thought that the impact it would have. But it resonated not just in America. You got to understand, it's in countries all over the world. So like it or not, when you turn that TV on, sitting in somebody's living room all across the world, there's a prayer to God piped in. And it went right through Hollywood, right through New York. And if you'd asked me, I'd have said, there's no way they'll ever do this. And guess what? God has a way, doesn't he? So give him the glory. So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about leadership because it's a leadership conference. So I don't even think of myself as a leader. I really don't. But there's a lot of leaders in our family. I am from a family of leaders, strong leaders. I do run the business along with my wife. She probably, let's be honest, she does more than I do at the business. Those two guys are going, yeah, they do. So, but there's different types of leadership styles. So whether you're in business, church, or families, we need to make sure that we pattern, you know, how we lead people after the right people, right? And I want my attitude to be like Christ Jesus. So the first person I'm going to look at is God himself that walked around on this earth. Philippians chapter 2 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Isn't that awesome? That Jesus did that for us. So we can't lead unless we know who exactly led us. And it starts off so strange, right? Jesus was teaching us a lesson before he even got here. Because he had already figured out, I'm going to come down there and become one of you. So let's contrast Jesus and what he's done to our leaders that we see today. Who are these people that lead us? Who are the people? They're the wealthy. They're the highly educated. They're the very well connected. They're lawyers. This one's funny. They're athletes and ex-athletes. I never figured that out. They're ex-pro wrestlers. I said that just because I'm in Minnesota. It's true. That's a leader. Celebrities, believe it or not. And there's others, but let's face it, a lot of the people who we view as leaders are these kind of people, right? And these are the people that we think have it together. How did they get to the top? And let's be honest. I mean, how do people a lot of times get to the top? Not everyone, but they kind of step all over each other, right? Don't we stomp each other on the ground trying to get ahead of someone else? We climb that ladder in this dog-eat-dog society. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And the big rewards go for the big performances. I've gotten a chance to actually hang out with some leaders, believe it or not. This is where I'm really going to name drop, okay? So Corey and I are going to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. We were invited by the Robertson, that's who it is, 700 Club. So we're going to sit at their table. And so we're walking in. Corey's on the phone with her mom. And she goes, yeah, we're going in. We're going to meet the president. And I said, Corey, we're not meeting the president. There's thousands of people here. It's a dinner. Like, we're going to see him speak. And this is the funny one where the comedians are there and everybody kind of, it's a light thing. And she goes, okay, Willie says, we're not meeting the president. I said, we're going in to sit down. So while we walk in the front door, people's everywhere. Guy walks up, earpiece, Mr. and Ms. Robertson, the president would like to see you both. Corey said, I told you we were going to meet the president. So I'm walking in, I look up, and like, I'm in line behind like Nicole Kidman and somebody else, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. So we get up, there's like a little dungeon area behind this thing, and so we go up, meet the president, he's very nice, says some kind things, loves the show. He actually said they watched Duck Dynasty on Air Force One, which I thought was kind of cool. He gave me some cufflinks, and I didn't know whether to say, like, Mr. President, I'm not really a cufflink guy, I just took them, I said, we'll sell that on eBay, so. I still have them. I didn't sell the cufflinks, I still have them. So it was pretty cool. I came home, told all my buddies, I was like, you'll never believe what just happened. So I'm kind of a big deal, and just when you think you're a big deal, this happened. So I'm at Daytona. They're doing a car race thing. They had some celebrity. I don't know what I was, probably saying a prayer, doing something. So I'm there, and Governor Scott walks up from Florida. And I was like, oh, how you doing, Governor? And he said, how are you? He said, man, it is so nice to meet you. I said, thank you, Governor. He said, I love your music, and I saw your concert, and it was unbelievable. Now, I knew he thought I was Zach Brown. I didn't even correct him. I said, thank you, Governor. I appreciate it. That's awesome. 10 minutes later, his wife is dragging him back over. Willie, I am so sorry that he did not recognize, and he's like, he's like looking like, oh, I just, are there any cameras around? I said, it's fine, it's fine. So sometimes you're a big deal. Sometimes people don't even know who you are. The last one I'll tell you about was I was able to go and meet Billy Graham and at his house, like at his home. So his daughter, they were family. I watched the show. And so I had this chance and an offer. And I said, oh yeah, I'm there for sure. So I went up and I went in his room and, you know, he was having a hard time hearing just, you know, because he's older. And his daughter said, "Daddy, this is Willie Robertson. He's on a TV show. He came all the way from Louisiana to see you." And he looked up and he said, "To see me? Why would anybody want to see me?" And I was like, wow. Like, that's what I want to be like. To where he sit. You talk about living that Philippians 2 as a leader, and all he's done is to say, why would somebody come see me? That's the leadership style of Jesus. Jesus always gave a view and a thought that was totally opposite than what the world's view was, right? It was always different. Jesus was in this world, but not of the world. Leaders motivate, but what motivates us? That is the question. If you watch politics right now, you'll see the world's playbook. Fear, money, jobs, security, all things of this world. Right? You look around and you see that. Because fear will motivate you. Because people will get scared to death. When you get Jesus in you, you won't be as scared. Because guess what? We're not even built for this life. We're built for something way beyond here. That's right. Matthew 5, Jesus taught. It's interesting to me because Jesus, this one of the first things he said was he goes through and starts telling people kind of how to act. So if you think about Matthew 5, it's fairly early, right, in his ministry. Well, the first things he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom of earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Kind of a different list on leadership style, right? What does Jesus want us to be? Less. Not more. Not angry, not scream. He's telling them about rewards they're going to get. Right. Bonuses. Just think about how much we push ourselves to make more money and more bonuses and that next thing and that next thing. When Jesus is, he's offering things that he's seen, right? He's been there. So you can imagine, if you come from heaven and you're telling people things that you're like, this will turn you on. And as humans, we have a hard time even know what he's talking about. And I'm sure Jesus is like, these are the things that are going to motivate you. So I started thinking, and this may be silly and I've never done it, but I started thinking, because I want to motivate you and I want you to be a better leader. And it's probably going to be the opposite thing of what you're thinking. So I thought, well, what would that be like? I always think about what it's like for Jesus to leave where he came from, come down here. I used to say ants, like us becoming an ant. Then I thought, what if I were able to go and, let's say, be a duck? I'm a duck. I've got to explain to other duck things, not duck men. I've got to explain to them things that they don't understand. But I can't talk because I'm a duck. See how difficult that would be? And I'm just thinking about Jesus trying to tell human beings how awesome these things are going to be. When he says, you're going to get something that's beyond that. I would tell a duck, okay, here's the deal. Make sure if you sit down, make sure that you're sitting by things that aren't plastic, okay? They look just like us. And if it's got a big like wad of sticks beside it, stay away from that thing. Barrels come out of there and smoke starts going. It's awful. Don't stop in West Monroe, Louisiana either. There's some guys with some beards there that have just really done a hurting on the ducks over the years. Your best thing to do, just live on a golf course. It's safe. They don't shoot you on a golf course. Jesus trying to explain this to human beings. How different than our leaders do we see? Jesus had this amazing way of giving simple stories, simple things. The greatest leader of all time, teaching limited human beings. He was teaching us how to lead. Ultimately, he had to be sacrificed himself. Guess what? That was a lesson. Knowing that he was going to have to sacrifice himself, God gave him over to us human beings, and he taught one more lesson. You know, it takes action to be a good leader. The first thing you got to do is follow. It's another one of these opposite Jesus things he tells us. You want to lead? Follow. Are we leading or are we following? One of my favorite person in the Bible is the Apostle Peter. This story of his life blows me away every day when I think about it. So Jesus comes up. You know the story. Jesus comes up. A couple of boats there. Peter's a fisherman. All right? I like that. We used to be fishermen. So Peter's there. They've been fishing all day. They ain't caught nothing. Jesus gives them a little lesson. Then Jesus says, by the way, go ahead and throw the nets out. Go out there and deep stuff. Jesus is not a professional fisherman, okay? Peter is. That's what he's living his life. What does Peter do? Master, we've been trying this all day. We ain't caught anything. But all he'd done was teach him a lesson, right? So whatever he said at least got him interested enough to go try. If you say go do it, we'll go do it. Throw the nets out. I'm going to sink the boat. Fish are everywhere. And what does Peter say? I love it. What does Peter? Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Isn't that what we do as human beings? Don't we let our sin, the first thing we'll do is push away from Jesus. Peter has no idea. He's standing there with a guy who's going to take this sin away from him. But Jesus doesn't even bat an eye. He said, it's okay. He says, I tell you what, you come follow me, I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. What does Peter do? Drops everything he has and starts walking. And I love that about Peter. That he just said, let's roll. We rolling, let's roll. Left everything. Jesus looked way past Peter, his shortcomings, because he needed a follower. He needed followers. He saw past his sin, past his lack of vision, lack of faith. He saw a follower. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for followers. That's what he's looking for. If you're going to be a good leader, you better start by being a good follower. Okay? If you don't, you know what you'll be? Luke chapter 18, you'll be the rich ruler. Same opportunity was offered to this guy. You ever thought about that? And he was actually, he had a way better resume than Peter. He said, I've done these things. I'm a pretty good guy. Jesus looks right at him and says, you're a good guy, right? Let's sell everything you got and follow me. God himself, the creator of everything, offered this guy a chance. A chance of literally of a lifetime. The same thing Peter said, let's roll. This guy looked, and what did he do? He walked away, and he was very sad. Couldn't do it. You know what happens when you don't follow him? You don't get your name in the Bible. You're just the rich ruler. You are forever known by the sin that kept you from being a follower. You're just that guy. Peter took that chance. Peter followed. Now, Peter doesn't remind me of me. I sometimes feel like Peter. Because Peter did some dumb things, but he was so wanting to do stuff. He wanted to please the Lord so bad. He was a follower. You know what else he had? He had fearless faith. Fearless faith. Who's the first one jumped out of the boat? Remember Jesus strolling on the water? They all thought it was a ghost. Oh, Jesus, that's okay. It's me. Peter's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm getting right up on that water. I'm going to walk there too. I think he made a few steps. And they're like, what the heck am I doing? He starts sinking. Jesus looks at him. Peter, you know he had to be like, Peter, good try. Good try. Jesus at the end of his life, the guards are going to come and take him. Peter takes his sword. He's trying to chop somebody's head off. Caught the ear. Jesus like, hang on. Not the way we're going to do this. That's why I love Peter. Because I'm like that. It's a stupid thing sometimes. And I'm like, what am I thinking? And then the ultimate thing Peter did. Jesus says, you know what? You're going to deny me three times. Peter says, no, never. 3 years at least of his life, walking, talking, all the miracles, all the things he's seen, transfiguration, just all this stuff. Do you know who Jesus is? Nope. You were with him? Nope. Yes, that was you. No, that was not me. Denied Christ three times. Probably the worst thing you could do. I know a lot of you are married. This is not saying you're not married. This is saying I don't even know my spouse. That's 10 years of counseling to get over that, right? That's a bad one. This is what Peter did. And what did Peter do? He starts bawling. See, leaders cry. It's okay. When you screw up, you cry. Leaders do screw up. But leaders get back up. Leaders get back up, and they keep going. And that's what Peter did over and over and over. Acts chapter 1, Jesus, he gone. Acts chapter 2. It's a big gathering of people. They huddle up. Somebody steps up. Men of Israel, listen to this. Peter. It didn't take long. He got up off his face from just a few weeks earlier, got up, and he's preaching. The climate's still bad, right? They just killed Jesus. Peter's getting up and preaching, and he's actually like, you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing the cross, but God raised him from the dead. And he's preaching, and he's preaching. At the end of the chapter, says, with many other words, he warned them and pleaded them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. 2:37, when they heard this, brothers, what shall we do? Repent, be baptized. You'll get forgiveness of your sins. You'll get the Holy Spirit in you. They just had it before. Fire. Looked like fire shooting out of their heads. That'll get you fired up, son. Woo! I ain't had no fire pouring out of my head. Peter did not want to be defined. He did not want to be that rich ruler. He didn't want to be runaway Peter. He did not want to be defined that way. Jesus said, that's a rock I'm going to build this whole church on. Is right there. And he followed him when? All the way till he died. Same guy denied him. That fires me up, people, because look, I am sinful. I am broken. And I need Jesus. And when I read about people like that, who get themselves back up, pick themselves back up, and they keep going. God can use you in amazing ways. All right? We all can be leaders. If you would have told me 10 years ago I'd be standing right here talking to you, I'd have thought, I guess I got a preacher job and my other job didn't work out. God used a television show to help a lot of people, and we're honored to be part of that. Love being with you. I hope you have a great conference. Father, I pray that we can be more like you. I pray that we can be more like Peter, Father, and the men that we read about in the Bible, and the women who did so many amazing things and got this whole thing started. 2,000 years ago, Father, we are still talking about you. We are still thinking about you. We are still praising you. Father, we give you everything that we have, everything, and we give you all the glory. Thank you for the blood that saves us. We love you through Jesus. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Enthusiastic response to Duck Dynasty's Willie Robertson, and what a great presentation today. It's one of our best of 2020 Focus on the Family episodes.
Wow, John, what an inspirational message, and I really appreciate Willie's leadership skills. As the CEO of Duck Commander, as the father of six, and as a Christian man in the media, and that's not easy, as we know. Willie has written a book called American Entrepreneur, which looks at the history of the United States by featuring its great businessmen and women. He also details how he transformed his father's humble duck call business into an international brand, and it's a fascinating read. I hope you'll get a copy of Willie's book from us rather than an online bookstore, because when you shop with us, the proceeds go right back into ministry. You're helping us provide help and hope for couples in crisis, struggling parents, lonely singles. And this year, those challenges have really been magnified by unemployment and isolation. So please bring hope to these families by donating to Focus on the Family. When you make a donation of any amount, we'll send you a copy of American Entrepreneur by Willie Robertson, and that'll be our way of saying thank you for supporting this ministry and helping people.
And you can do that when you call 800, the letter A in the word family, or find the details in the episode notes. Next time, we'll continue our Best of 2020 presentations, a powerful story of God's love and redemption during a teen pregnancy.
I'm just a puddle, just sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and just couldn't, you're watching, you just created this tornado, you crushed your parents' feelings and their hopes, and they're in complete, utter shock and panic, and you're the source of all of it. So much instant shame and guilt.
On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening today to this Focus on the Family podcast. Please take a moment and give us a rating and make some comments at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And then share about this episode with a friend, won't you? I'll invite you back next time as we once more help you and your family thrive in Christ.
Find fun for your kids just a click away.
And now, Adventures in Odyssey.
The Adventures in Odyssey Club, where your 8 to 12-year-old can find trusted, faith-building entertainment in a safe online club. It features almost every episode ever, plus special monthly club-only episodes and content, and a Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine subscription. Sign up today. Just go to aioclub.org/radio.